5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Two rights don't make a wrong.
Put moron number two on the phone.
So you're the only wrong one.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listen to the Rush Hour.
I feel good. I outed 16-year-old George Brayshaw two weeks ago,
you did,
for ringing me halfway through the third quarter.
And?
Ever guess who's just trying to ring me twice?
George. Baby George.
Show's been going 11 years.
Come on,
it starts at 4 o'clock.
Come on.
I'll go have a look at him. Something's happening there.
He wants money.
There'll be no question of that. Damien Barrett joining us shortly.
Oh,
nice. Interesting round of footy, actually. Very interesting. And then later on, we speak to Daisy Thomas.
Oh, yes.
That's an amazing story.
Nil. Haven't won a game for 1,029 days. Daisy just walks into town and whack.
And then Jock Zonfrillo joins us, of course, from MasterChef. You watch some of the stairs.
Is he the good looking
well,
one?
Well, the girls reckon. I have the belief that we provide enough eye candy.
Oh, me and you.
But I don't reckon.
No,
when Jock wanders in, goodness me.
Ask him about his teeth.
Well, you can do that. Nice Monday, Fat.
Beautiful Monday. Actually, no, it's been a bit ordinary, but it's nice now at the minute as we speak to you live from the studios of Triple M here in Clarendon Street. Hello, Rebs.
You got a tattoo?
Just the one. I got a cross.
There you go.
Man of the cloth.
Why did you get a cross?
I don't know, Brian.
And it's like drawing a pineapple on
it.
Why?
I've got a pineapple.
Have you?
Yep.
Who was that?
Kate McCarthy.
Kate McCarthy.
Got a pineapple.
Yeah,
tattoo.
She's got heaps of tattoos.
Yeah.
Pineapple.
Mm. And an ice cream.
Why would you have those?
Well, that was what Brian was asking.
Yeah. And?
I don't know.
Nice input, Raps. Thank you very much. Got a wrap?
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Jim, our listeners do like hearing about other sports other than golf, football and cricket, you flog.
It's Billy's All Sports Report.
Feeling a lot better today, Jim, by the way.
Good. Because you were no good Saturday.
Should have seen me Sunday.
No,
I had a bending.
Come on.
St Kilda, the past players, Jim, have announced their team of the decade 1990
yes.
to 2000.
Right.
Danny Spud Frawley, captain of that team. So, cool. Well, made he was finally a captain.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. More 80s, Spud. When did he finish?
Well, I don't know, actually. Look that up, Razzie. But this is 1990 to 1999.
Anyway, he deserves whatever they hand
I'll
him,
give
the
you
great man.
Exactly. Danny Frawley, Daryl Wakelin, centre back.
Yes.
Andrew Thompson in the middle. Look at the half forward line.
Oh, Damos, mate.
95, Spud Plater.
Oh, right. Okay,
there we go.
The half forward line. Barry Hall, Stewie Lowe, Nicky Winmar.
Oh, not a bad half forward line. That'll do, Bill.
The big plugger at full forward.
Bang.
And then the rucks are Spider Everett, your mate.
Yeah, decent side you're putting together here.
Robert Harvey, Nathan Burke.
What about them?
Old helmet head Burkey. And then, two coaches they named. Not one, they went with two.
Yes.
So Bomber Sheldon, Stan Els.
Oh, nice.
They went with two, Jim, but well done there. Of course, we like those teams. Three more members for the MND slider announcements. Eddie Betts. David Neitz.
Nita.
And Jakara Anthony, our girl that was in the snow. Jim.
Yes.
They did the moguls.
Yes. David Neitz.
Yeah.
When he gets into the, his voice won't work at all.
No.
Once he hits the Colts, because even
high.
At his best, you can't hardly hear Nita. Once he goes in there, Bill, he'll just have air coming out.
He will, old Nita. It's still the greatest story ever when someone broke into his house, Jim. Someone broke into his house. They called the cops around. They said, crikey, have a look at the mess they've made.
Made
there's
mess.
Shit everywhere. They said, no, they only took the telly. Yeah.
That's how it was when they got in.
Exactly.
They started cleaning stuff up.
George Kambosos. Oh, gorgeous. Yes. George
what
went
happened to
down.
The old Kambos?
116, 112, 116,
ferocious.
112, then 118, 110.
Yeah.
Outpointed early, they said. Just too good of a jab was our man Haney.
Yeah.
Haney.
No, it was pretty
jabbed.
Comprehensive.
Definitely not Haney.
No.
Yeah, so he's got the four belts now Haney.
Unified them.
But I think Georgie takes home 10 mil, Jim. Well, the deal. Geez, it's not a bad deal. So. And, of course, he was very, very gracious in defeat.
Yeah, look, this is amazing for the sport, amazing for this country. And at the end of the day, I want to take the best test, the hardest test. So I'm going to give him full respect after his victory today. Let him have his time and we'll do it again. I had to implement a few things, but I thought the fall was very close. But look, I'm not going to wreck his moment. I had my moment in last November and my moment was wrecked. So let him have his moment and I'll see you again real soon.
In Australia, too, where you'll fight him again in Australia, Jim.
Like it.
41,000 there, I think there was.
That's a good result.
French Open. Guess who won the French Open, Jim?
Oh, Rafa.
Rafa.
14th time.
Beat old Casper Ruud.
Yeah, pretty easy.
6-3, 6-3, 6-love.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, that's a really good win because he's only got 1 foot. I think one got taken off. He's only on 1 foot.
Rafa?
Yeah.
What, he's had his foot amputated and still won the French Open?
In the semi-final, but still got through. Mate, his foot's no good.
In the previous days, it's obvious that with the circumstances that I am playing, I can't and I don't want to keep going. So the mindset is very clear, no? I'm going to keep working and to try to find a solution and an improvement for what's happening in the foot.
See, no good. They're going to burn a nerve in his foot. Mm. Yeah. So it is 22nd Grand Slam,
yes.
Jim.
14 of them French. We discussed this the other day.
I know we did. You're spot on. So two ahead of now Novak and Roger Federer.
Yep.
Who's, you asked me.
Federer for me.
I said Djokovic, but you said Federer.
No, I'm not a Djokovic fan.
Well, you went
Federer.
Yeah, oh, someone Federer. Went Raf out there, but he's won 14 of the 22 on. Yep.
It is
on
an the astounding dirt. Achievement.
It is. No, we say well done to Raf. Ming-Ji Lee, Jim, tell
good.
Us about her.
How good. Second major. She won her first last year in France, and now she's won the US Open at Pine Needles in North Carolina and did it easy.
Exactly.
Had a good lead coming in, like a 3-shot lead coming into the final round, and absolutely walked home. She is the highest quality fat. She swings the club beautifully.
Yeah,
one short game, puts the spots off it. She is a ripper.
1.8 million she won. Two and a half
that's hour right. money. Yep. Bloody oath.
Well done to her. She is a star, as you said. And cricket, well done to England. Won the first test by 5 wickets. Joe Root, man of the match.
Joe Root.
115 not out. Well done to him. They won their second test in 18 tests. Well done, Rooty.
All right, let's get Damo in and discuss a interesting round of footy. Mm.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
A humble man who had much about which to be humble.
Triple M. Damo is in.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
We get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Welcome to you, Purple.
Thank you, Jim. And thank you, Bill and Rebsy.
What caught your eye across the weekend? Well, interesting round of footy.
A bit of news first. Western Bulldogs have accepted Bailey Smith.
Yeah, they've accepted that headbutt 2-week sanction, which I thought was something they should do in a heartbeat, despite them spending the weekend thinking they might actually appeal it. No, they've accepted it. I think it was the right, their decision to take, but I felt he should have got more than the two, and we discussed that on Saturday on the run.
I always thought 2 was about right.
Yeah, you did actually. Yeah, I just felt with the look of the game and the constant reminding of people that the head is an area you don't go to, and then he chose to use his own head there. I just thought it might have been an image and a message that could have been sent a bit stronger, but I realise I'm in a minority on that front.
What was interesting was Ryan Bastanac, who we spoke about last week. He got headbutted down there at Pearsdale.
Badly.
And badly too. So that's what we don't want.
No, it is. And look, I don't want to get too technical, but as we know with the human face, I mean, contact where Tui was, where it was flatter on the forehead, had that been on the part where the eyebrows sort of made, you can just open yourself up there quite easily and quite innocuously. So if there had been blood involved in that Zach Tui situation, I think we would have been, as we do in the AFL system, react a little bit differently.
Has Nat Fyfe got COVID yet or is he okay?
We haven't heard.
Is that many players out in the ground and kids and parents,
kids?
And given that WA is going through what we have as a state been going through in the last couple of years, you had that reaction, didn't you, when you saw him post-match posing and signing autographs and whatnot. But he got through, and that's an amazing scenario that they've got to round 12, the Dockers, with massive wins in the past 2 weeks against Melbourne, and then equally importantly, Brisbane Lions on the weekend just gone without him, and the luxury now to bring him back potentially, and I'd say most likely now for Hawthorn this week before they have their bye.
Yep.
And all on their terms, all on Justin Longmuir's terms as to when he comes back, given he made him play waffle, and how he comes back is the next big question. And then an awkward selection dilemma, as in who comes out of that.
Well, they don't threat the young kid that just kicked four. He could have probably gone out.
He probably might still be the Banfield.
Banfield, yeah.
Frederick kicked three, lobbed three. But, I mean, Banfield
Roy
might
Fredericks.
Be the...
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't he silky?
Just brutal. Yeah,
something special about him. Yeah, playing him.
Who's coach of the year, boys, right now? Goody, McRae, Longmuir.
Yeah. I mean, you could throw in Longmire too, couldn't you? He probably is behind those other three you mentioned, Bill. But, it's a good question to this point of the season. And
They were great. Second half, they were unbelievably good.
And obviously, Fife was already out, but Walters and Tabiner came out of that team. Yep. Swatkowski was suspended, and he's got to come back in as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, you're starting to feel for these Fremantle players who are deserving of places in the 22 but just won't. Stay in there.
But good. Purple, what it is for me, and obviously I have a closer interest than others maybe, but it's their winning. They're tough.
Yeah.
They're tough at the footy. They tackle when they don't have the ball. They work hard defensively. The brand they're playing is a sustainable September brand of footy, I reckon.
Are you convinced now they can win the flag? Because I am.
I need to see this more ahead of the ball.
Yeah, okay.
I need to see them get that bit right more regularly. But certainly they have taken on in the last 2 weeks, for me, the best two midfields in the comp and wiped them both times.
Eight goals against Melbourne in the third quarter. And then to rack up another 100 points yesterday's, which is something they historically haven't Justin Longmuir done. So to do it against the team that, as you rightly point out, Jim, is the second best team on rankings going into the game, it's all you need to know about where this club's at.
Coaches' votes. Andrew Brayshaw got 10, Jim.
Yeah,
Sarong, he got 8. Bailey, Zach, 5. Brody's going well. He got 3. And then Frederick, Roy Frederick's got 2. Good. But having said all that, the leaderboard, Clayton Oliver on 63, Andrew Brayshaw and Lachie Neal both on 58. So he's second now. Little break.
He's putting together an incredible season. I know we ask you about him nearly every Monday, but it must be a source of pride for you.
Oh, no, he was terrific. And he worked through a tag too. Robertson, for most of the day, was hanging off him. Yeah. So to have 36 or whatever he had.
39, you know, I think it was.
Whatever it was. No, and an impact with him too.
Yeah.
But what I love, pardon me, about that club and have done for years is the field kicking of David Mundy. It is a thing of beauty.
It really isn't.
Three of their goals were set up by him just going bang. And they're like a 3-iron.
Yep.
And he roams the midfield like he hasn't got a care in the world.
Yeah. He's as good a open field kicker as there's been in the last 10 years, I reckon.
Tom Hawkins is a beautiful on-field kicker, not a goal when he's playing. So the top 10 are all midfielders except for one player. And he is fifth on the voting in 52 votes. So it goes Oliver, Brayshaw, Neil, Cripps, Jeremy Cameron at 5 or fifth.
Nice season.
That's good, isn't it? It's good to see a forward there.
Yeah, we may as well jump across to the Cats now too.
No, you don't have to.
No, we're going to get there, Bill. We may as well get there now. So, the game he played on Friday night against the Bulldogs was scene setting, wasn't it? How he set up in the first quarter. And then it was it became an arm wrestle there for a period of time. But he was crucial again when he just became the player that they recruited him to be. Wasn't able to be last year with injury, it must be said. But this year he's become and re-established himself as that superstar that he was for GWS.
I love when Chris Scott sends him up for stoppages too. He's so big and agile and can clunk it, obviously. So up on the wing.
And the midfield. He doesn't run. He glides. He actually glides.
I know what you mean.
I'll tell you a couple I love. Zach Tui, who's been a very good player for both Carlton and Geelong. But the young boy, Tommy Atkins, who's tough and hard, and him and Libba went there, and Libba was fantastic for the Dogs the other night. But Tommy Atkins is one.
You love him, don't you?
Oh, I do. He's a good boy.
Bruce Stanley, too. I know we've talked about him a lot, but when he plays well, there's not many ruckmen better than him when he plays well. The problem is, Bill, when it's not every week.
Sydney we're going to get to as well. We'll take a break, but they were very, very good Saturday.
This is Damo's Recovery Session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Damo is in the studio.
And we need to talk about the Sydney Swans, Purple, because two excellent wins in a row for them.
Yeah, and the Melbourne one on the weekend just gone was very impressive. And I think it gives the Swans a reason to think they too, like Fremantle, can actually think pretty big on what can happen in 2022. Paddy McCartan's close to, obviously, you, Bill, for obvious reasons. And you've regularly brought your listeners up to speed with how he's been going and the toil he's been through. Post-match on Fox Footy, got very emotional when talking about his return to footy, but also playing alongside his brother Tom.
Oh, mate, honestly, it's the best ever. I don't know. It's hard to explain to people. I don't think there's that many people that have played footy with their brother. And, yeah, I just love him to death, and you know, he's a big reason why I was able to, you know, come back and get through what I did. And yeah, I don't know, mate. It's hard to talk about. I get a bit emotional talking about it, to be honest. Yeah, just love him that much.
That's right. Another brother, Charlie, by the way, is a lovely boy also.
Yep.
But I spoke to Lucy today. I said, that was nice. And Patty's sending love to Tom.
Yes.
She goes, no love to Lucy on the broadcast.
Oh, no, I think he did reference the wider support group.
Come
he's
on,
got.
Luce. Nah, he was only talking about Tom. And I already saw Tom this morning. He's back in Geelong. Cat should snap him up. He's back in Geelong at his favourite coffee shop.
Really?
Nicest kid you'll ever meet.
Yeah, Tom I have met him a couple of times.
Well, and Paddy too, but good family.
I ain't letting him go, Bill.
Oh, no, you wouldn't let him go.
No way. No. I always said, spoke to Brad Scott about that, and he always said the same thing. There's nothing like playing footy with your brother.
Yeah.
And they obviously did for years. He said it's just a special thing you can do with his, you know, your brother. I reckon that'd be brilliant.
Especially down back, so close together. Yeah.
And I thought Sam Doherty's story was the standout emotional one for the year. But I think Paddy McCartan's in the same chat now as to who is. And I don't want to actually distinguish because
they're both great.
Amazing stories and amazing performances they're putting together. Collingwood needs a good bit of love too with consecutive 4-point wins, MCG on Sundays, Bill. Carlton last week. Hawthorn yesterday. They're a realistic finals chance, and that's not even saying anything too dramatic these days, is it? They're in the eight. Now, they've had the extra game over some teams, given this is the first of three rounds of bye football. But, yeah, they're so impressive under Craig McRae, just attitude.
I love them. They're good to watch, you know. They have a go. They play good footy, and I thought Hawthorn were good too yesterday. Good game, that one.
It was a good game.
Yeah. We might stick with the Pies when it comes to the negative stuff. Craig McRae spoke about the Jack Ginnivan situation. He and Cody Waitman both emerged from round 12 with question marks over their attempts to get free kicks. We'll discuss it in a minute after we hear what Craig McRae said.
Oh, it's interesting. Maybe I need to get some clarity because, as far as I'm aware, that it is a free kick, so we'll just get some clarity around that. But you know, I think you can't get paid a free kick because we don't like it that you're getting free kicks. I'm not sure if that's the case, so I'll just get some clarity around that. I think it's a skill, and it forces the tackler to really be on his best game. So. Is it within the rules? There's no rule against it at the minute.
There's no doubt he didn't get free kicks he should have gotten the second half yesterday. And that's the problem. I mean, you can have your reputation, you can have the stigma, you can have the knowledge of everyone knowing you might be playing for them, but if they're there and they're not paid, that's a problem.
Yes, spot on. There was that one. It was too high, no doubt about that. It should have been a free kick.
Yep.
Along with, what about the Darcy Moore free kick?
That I don't know what was going on there.
So why are umpires making the call 150?
From 60 metres away.
It happened Friday night, Jim.
Yeah.
And the umpire was right there on the scene. He let it play on. He knew exactly what was going on. So
Damo, it's a very interesting one because it's you're standing in the game as much as anything else.
It is.
You know, it's the respect of the people you play with and against. As well as how the umpire interprets what happens.
Yep.
Dermot always said, I think he might have been his debut game against North Melbourne.
He kicked five in a final. Yeah,
and John Law, as we know, was a rock-hard bastard from North at the time. And Dermot tells this openly, so I'm not still, you know, he said it on air many times. He slunk to his knees to drag a high free at one stage, and John Law came in from the side and barreled him and said, "Keep your feet, you coward."
Yeah.
And Dermot said, "I never ever did it again because I'd never wanted anyone to think of me like that as a footballer when I'm, you know, trying to earn everyone's respect."
That's true.
So that's where it gets hard for Waitman and Ginnivan, and, you know, because everyone looks at it and goes, "Is that the look you want?" Waitman a couple of times jumping forward Friday night in marking. Is that what you want to have?
I don't
if
think
you're
it is.
A footballer.
And Matty Lloyd talks about it really openly too. He went through
did.
The same phase.
Exactly.
And he's open enough to say, "I was like that and I had to change." And he's not telling these two guys to change in a you know, domineering way, but he's suggesting to them, just change certain aspects of your game and be known for other aspects.
Well, because they're both unbelievably talented young kids.
They are. Yeah.
So they're good enough to not have to do that.
Yep.
And it was well done by the umpire not to pay free kick. He paid it to young Zach Guthrie. I like that. And even if he would have said, "Come on, Waitman, you're better than that," or whatever.
But he might have not got one. He should have got two, I think, in that game as well. Not as pronounced, I feel, as what happened with Ginnivan. Demons have got concerns. But if you go back to last year, so they started 9-0 last year and this year 10-0. Last year there was a 9-game sequence after round 9 where they went 4 wins, 4 losses and a draw. Yeah, so not 9 games where they actually won less than the 50% mark. So they've now lost 2 in a row this year. Obviously, Fremantle last week and then the Swans on the weekend. They've got worries, but May being out of effectively both games, halfway through the first quarter of the Fremantle game, all of the Swans game. He'll come back in, but the forward lines are, it's a mess. Tom McDonald's now out indefinitely with a Liz Frank injury. Ben Brown hasn't kicked a goal for 3 weeks, and Sam Wiedemann's playing VFL and not wanted, to the point where Brown ended up coming, Brown, wasn't it?
Brown came in. Mm-hmm. So they've kicked 7 goals and 9 goals in the last 2 weeks. Yeah. So that's what you're saying.
Genuine worries, yes. But but we saw what happened last year. They regrouped in round 19 and then went on that surge. Bang. So that's what they'll be gearing toward. But
they've been beaten around the footy twice. What's interesting there is that can happen with Melbourne because of the way they structure around the footy. They don't throw extra numbers up. So they can often get, you know, clearance beaten and all the rest of it. But with May and Lever behind the footy, they're so good at getting the ball back. It often doesn't matter. But when May's not there and you're getting repeat entries against, then Sydney, you know, latched onto him, and in the second half, so did Freo. But I don't think Simon Goodwin, I don't think he'd be that worried. I think he'd think when we get everyone back and we get rolling back into the year, we can fix all
that. But everyone's got injuries. Like, you can't keep saying May and that. Every team's got it.
They do, but obviously when May structures that team up, like very few people have ever done in the game, I think, Bill, the way he does, control what goes on.
Like Stuart with your mob.
Well, that's right.
For
he went off.
Two quarters, they were in all sorts without
him. They were.
But
they couldn't score. They couldn't buy a goal. No. Went down to the supermarket gym and tried to buy a goal.
None on the shelf.
None on the shelf.
Like the supermarket underneath here, there's nothing on the shelf.
That they were, to your point, Melbourne, 30 points up against Fremantle and 26 up against the Swans. So even within the games they've lost, they've got
and Max Gorn's been bloody good.
Especially last Saturday night.
One of his best games ever.
Yeah. All right, so buses?
Well, I don't think we'll this week. It's just boring. We've already got them at Perth and at North Melbourne. Right. And there's one at Tullamarine. So we've already dispersed
Melbourne,
them.
You've distributed your buses.
I've distributed
them. Well, I suggest you have a listen, Purple, next, because while we tore strips off Fat for his disgraceful behaviour
on Saturday,
there was something we missed.
What did we miss?
Well, just keep listening. Mm.
Good tease, Jim.
Damo's recovery session. Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
That's vicroads.gov. The gov.
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
Bit of feedback from Hose Mary.
Yeah.
It's social media feedback.
Be more constructive with your feedback, please.
With Aussie Supermole Rosie Walton.
I like that.
You have got some feedback before we set up the phone topic.
Yes.
So let's...
I'm going to start off. I'm going to ease our way into this.
Right.
Saturday was an interesting day.
Very.
I'm prefacing it with
what
that
happened?
Only.
The back of Friday night.
Do you know?
Were we on?
Anyway. Yeah. I went onto our Triple M Rush Hour Facebook page where it's saying that the best week of jokes ever for you, Bill, last week.
That's nice.
Best week ever.
That's probably right too.
Now, Friday was a fruity Friday one. It had a bovine theme. I'm not going to recap
had
it.
A what?
No. Bovine.
Yeah. Cow.
Oh, yes. Beef. Beef more so.
Okay, yeah. I like this comment from Michael Atkins. I guess if they were pigs instead of cattle, it would be pulled pork.
Oh, see, Hose, you're not going to mention it, then you go with that.
That's how I roll,
naughty,
baby.
You're naughty.
And hello to all commenting from the UK as well. Big fans
good.
Over there at
they
the
love
moment.
Us over
love
there,
it.
Yes.
Which brings me to Friday night.
Oh, now, what happened? Footy, was it?
So if you look at our Triple M Rush Hour Instagram, you sort of can follow it.
Seriously.
There was a post, there was a video, there was some live TV. These are two comments on the Triple M Rush Hour Insta that I saw Friday night. Actually, properly embarrassing at James Brayshaw.
Yep, it was.
Followed up by...
So you said that.
Yep.
Well done, Bins, at Billy Brownless.
I did comment on
it. So this is because you made a Roaming Brian appearance. Let's hear a bit of it, Rebs.
You're not the sort of guys that hang around the rooms.
Like when they win, we come down and we celebrate, we sing the song. Have they sang it yet? I don't want to go in the circle, Brian.
No, you've missed the song, Bill.
Actually,
yes, we know that, Bill.
Yes.
Hey, BT, we showed Billy's winning goal in the qualifying final tonight, too.
After the siren?
Yes.
Yeah. Are we on live?
Yes,
people
we are.
People are ringing. That's
come on, let's go.
You don't know if you're on live because he just comes up with a mic, so it's very difficult to say.
So we asked the question, who are you siding with? 71% said Bill, that they're siding with Bill
Jim?
For his Roaming
Jim?
Brian
are
appearance.
You listening, Jim?
No, because I'm looking at what we've got up on the Triple M Rush Hour
71%,
Instagram.
Jim. What? 7 out of 10.
What most people didn't realise, including you, James, until today?
Yes.
That Kate Massey works for Channel 7.
Ooh, yes.
She was in the crowd and captured an extraordinary video. Go to Triple M Rush Hour Instagram now to see it. She's trying to take a video of Geelong's last goal of the game, but is drawn to the corporate box behind and up from her and films Nuffy Geelong supporters. One of them is Blair Brownless.
Yes, he is a Nuff.
And the other is brother, you, storm out, arms, fists pumped.
Well, two things. Firstly, his guts is hanging about a metre and a half
correct.
Over the edge.
Nathan Turner says that the ledge is holding your
I'm
guts up.
I'm never wearing that shirt again.
Mauve.
It made me look bad.
It's disgraceful. Nathan Turner, Triple M Rush Hour Twitter. What the hell?
It's embarrassing.
Actually, I saw a Rosemary Walton saying, good work, Bins. You commented.
I might have been a little bit pissed myself.
Rose.
Rose commented.
Damon Bush replied, carrying on like a chook with its head cut off. Not metaphorically, actually.
Yeah, properly.
Well, figuratively.
Faz,
you
my mate Faz.
Faz and Blair and none of you knew how to behave.
Well, we did.
Well, what are you doing hanging out the front of a corporate box like a fool's head?
Jeremy Cameron kicked his sixth and we're just saying, Jezza, Jezza. Got the crowd up and about. Got some interesting birds from the Western Bulldogs fans, but it just gets the supporters and gets the players up.
It's they
look
it
around
about you and no one cares about you.
And they go,
you.
There's a former superstar. Look at him. And they all get up and they lift.
Okay, back into the rooms. Laughlink Curran says, embarrassing Bins. Steve Hocking must be ashamed.
Yes.
You broke through security.
Yes.
Benny Carpenter says, you know it's bad when BT is the only normal one.
Yes. Yes.
And Joey just wrote, hey, Google, define Nuffy.
Yeah. And? That's who it. Come up.
You.
That bit of vision.
Craig Drummond, very happy with me, said, good on you, Bill. That's camaraderie ship. They're right there in the room.
Camaraderie ship?
That's what
new
said.
Word today. Anyway, total nuff
so,
now for you.
133353, ring us now if you've got a mate who's made a complete ass of himself.
Oh, good.
Who's embarrassed you as a friend and in the process made a fool of himself.
Or just had fun. Just don't have to be outraged, Jim.
But
like you're like everyone else out there. They get outraged with this stuff.
We're like everyone else because we know proper behaviour.
Enjoyment.
No.
Yes. Still allowed to have fun
and
have a few
cheerleading.
Bourbons. One more bourbon, please.
Nuff. Cheerleading dingbat. So 133353, what are we giving away, please, Rabji?
$100 St. Andrew's Beach Brewery voucher and a $200 Neverland store voucher. Oh,
dob your mate in if he has embarrassed you by making a fool of himself the same way Fat did on about seven different occasions Friday night at the football.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Tim English has got, he's ill, Jim. Jim.
Ill, Jill. 133353, we're asking the question, when's a mate of yours embarrassed you by making a fool's head of himself?
Well, I've got one. A mate of mine was president of North Melbourne. You might remember this, Rabsy, and used to sit in a box on his own, like a flog.
Mm.
Then he thought he'd go down and sit with the cheer squad. So all the cameras were on him. And all he could say is, like, I'm normal. I'm one of the boys. I'm a man of the people, which is not right.
Supporting
you are not.
The cheer squad, I
no,
was.
You hated it.
Once
you hated
a year,
being there.
Magnificent people that cheers.
You hated it.
Do you hit any button, Ray?
I'm not hitting
don't
any
even
button.
We got no, Jace on the left. Line.
Well, I'm just saying
from,
Hobart.
Don't even think about it. No. Jace from Paran. Hello, Jace. I'm telling you, do not even think about it. Hello, Jace.
Jace.
Hey, boys. James, Billy, how are you?
What's happened to you?
2010 grand final, managed to find our way down into the rooms after the Pies won the flag.
Yes.
Couple of mates. One of the boys carrying on like a pork chop, much like Bill, drinking Crown Lagers like they were going out of fashion, making it all about himself.
Yep.
Sure enough, got a tap on the shoulder from the big prez, Ed.
Ooh.
Came over and just whispered in his ear pretty firmly, celebrate, don't dominate.
Ooh.
And then, surprise, about 10 seconds later, we're all asked to leave. And,
haven't let him hear the end of it.
Good word. Celebrate, don't dominate. Oh, that's not bad.
Well, you could listen to him. Stay on the line there, Chase. Jono's in Windy Hill.
Hey, Jono!
Oh, g'day, Skinny. How are you, mate? I'm JB.
Is that me?
So I basically, my mate went on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire quite a few years ago.
Yes. Yeah.
And on his application form when he got on, he said, oh, when I went overseas, I used to tell everyone I was a croc hunter from the Northern Territory just to try and get the ladies.
Yeah.
And so Eddie asked him about it, and he gets up out of his seat like an absolute clown and does his whole demonstration on how to handle a croc. And then Eddie McGuire just goes, well, that's the biggest croc I've ever heard, and asked him to sit down.
Oh,
and then
how'd he go?
And he, He was one question off $100,000, but he's just one of those. He's just one of those people. He's just a massive flog. And then a week afterwards, weeks after, it always go out, and everyone would recognise him and be like, "Oh, you were that guy on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire." And every time he'd ask the question, he'd just be an absolute, make himself an absolute idiot on TV. But
what was his name? Himself.
Well, the moral of the story, it's actually me. But... Oh, no!
Jono!
Jono!
Oh, good on you, Jono.
I like it.
Yeah, nice. Well done.
Hey there,
well
Kath done. In Hawthorne. Hello, Kath.
Catherine.
Yes. Hello.
Have you're someone embarrassed you, Kath?
Oh, well, yes, it was actually my husband.
Oh,
we were invited to a fancy dress party, and he decided to wear a very skimpy Tarzan loincloth. And little did I know that he had gone and bought himself a even skimpier little black G-string and put that on underneath this loincloth. And on the dance floor, someone decided to take the loincloth off him and dack him, and the G-string came off at the same time.
The 8 day it didn't.
It was very embarrassing, and still get a lot of laughs from it.
Kathy was swinging in the breeze.
Yes,
he certainly was. He was certainly doing that.
That would have been embarrassing, or maybe not. We don't know.
I think he actually quietly loved it.
Well done, Kath.
Stay on the line, Trev's in Trentham. Hello, Trev.
Trev.
Yeah, you know who embarrassed me and the entire Rush Hour family. It was you, fat. It's Todd from Bow and Andrew. And credit where it's due. Good win for the Cats.
Yes.
And then afterwards, the rooms are empty, bare bones staff, essential employees only. Then who do I see? The stupid head of old Bins Brownless in the dusty pink triple XL Gazman. And then you somehow wrangled your nuffy brother in there too. Brian Myers couldn't get his bloody mum in there. Yeah, Blair Brownless gets some cameras on.
Yes.
And while I've got your Bins, it's a Bintervention for you. I saw you on Front Bar.
Yes.
Good to see you rolling out some fresh original gear, by the way. Just for next time you tell the retirement story, which I've heard 9 times, it's a manila folder, you smack off manila. You can't get chocolate and strawberry ones, you fool. Anyway, good to see the Conan going well. Good to have a number 16 from Geelong putting his head over it.
Just like me. Piss off.
He's gone.
And it was Ralph Lauren shirt, by the way. It wasn't Gazman. It was Ralph Lauren.
XL Gazman.
I have got some
intervention.
I have got some Gazman gear, but it was a Ralph.
Oh, I like it.
Oh, he's a flog.
Gets the better of you.
But he hangs up. I can't have a go at him.
Who are we giving prizes
to? I tell you,
please.
Like Jono. He outed himself in the end. So Jono is very good. Good on you, Jono.
You got a $100 voucher to the St. Andrews Beach Brewery, mate. By the way, you can find their range of award-winning beers from select Thirsty Camel stores across Victoria.
Oh, and Kathy, of course, who the husband had his 8 day out.
Might have had a bit of presence about it too, by the sound
of it. I don't know. But,
$200 Neverland store voucher to get some gear to cover him up. It's the home of Australian streetwear. Shop in-store or online at neverlandstore.com.au.
Well done, Kath. Well done, Jono. Jace as well. Great. Oh, I love this. All right, Bill.
In
Are we going to get to 505 rabbits?
Rabbi?
It might be 5 at 5. Yeah, 05.
Good. All right. So we'll make it good.
People set their alarm clocks for it.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Wouldn't know who from clay.
Well, it's hard to tell sometimes.
Aha! 5:05.
Oh, at 5.
What about the timing of Bartholomew?
Well done.
He's got a little trouser chubby on the back of his own tummy.
Even a broken clock is
Daisy
right twice a day.
Thomas not far away, and Jock Zonfrillo from MasterChef.
And it is little.
So, 5 at 5:05.
Yes, please.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, this is Bizarre. It's Billy's unique look at the other side of footy.
Father, very good today.
Is it?
No. You need to change that because I've been good all week.
This is the first day of the week.
All week.
What's at number 5, Fat?
Thank you, Whitney, there. Now, old mate Duck made a big claim about his career at the Adelaide Crows on Saturday.
Duck played about a minute for Adelaide, and Byrne, how long were you there for?
8 years.
8 years?
Yeah.
Average 3 goals a game.
He only played 2.
20,
28.
I would actually like you to verify that, Ash.
Yeah, come on, Ash.
I think there's some mayo laid on that.
Ducks rounded up. He's averaged 2 goals per game at Adelaide. 56 majors. That's on 28 games, Duck.
32.
Equals two.
Two. You've rounded up one.
One third mayo the Ducks put on that.
Well done, Ash. He got him. Dude. Duck. Come on, Duck. You're better than that. Now, Sunday footy show, Lose Handball. We all love Lose Handball.
Oh, I won it.
You did. You beat Adam Simpson.
How about number four, Bins?
Shut up. Tala DeRay was up against Sam Draper from Essendon.
Big Drapes.
Big Drapes was the last to handball, and he only needed a 7 to win, Jim.
Hold it there. 59. He needs a you got a 5 to draw or a 7 to win. No pressure. Oh!
What did he do, Drape?
Well, actually, it would have been good to say what number they scored. So he needed a 5 to draw, a 7 to win, and he got a 2.
Nearly missed the board.
Nearly did a Tony Jones.
Come on, Drapesy.
Come on, Drapes, but a good fellow. We like him. Probably get a bit better in the handball.
What's at number 3, Cocko?
There's Laura. Still here, I see. Right.
What's that got to do with anything?
She's the mouthpiece.
Oh, my God.
Roaming Brian was back Friday night, of course, Jimmy. We all know that. Here's Roma.
Mitch Duncan here. Mitch, congratulations. Cracking game. What pizza are you having, mate? What are you going with?
What do you reckon? Do you want a slice?
Oh, ham and
there's plenty of that. Yeah, there's a Hawaiian. One with a few peppers. That's a bit hot for me, but...
Tommy Atkins over here. Here he is. Tom, congratulations, mate. Hey, mate. Cracking game. You must be delighted. You had a real crack tonight, didn't you?
Yeah, no, it was good. They're always good competitors. I've always enjoyed their toughness around the ball, so, no, it was good to get one over him.
A few little grumpy people around at various stages tonight. Little fracas everywhere, weren't there?
You know all about being grumpy, don't you?
You were involved in... What do you mean I know all about being grumpy?
That's all right, mate. I've heard stories of you back at the Paran days, so...
Oh, yeah.
Well, his old man Mick played with Brian at Paran.
He was grumpy.
Yes, well, Brian was.
Didn't he record the opposition rooms?
That's in the hands of investigators. Is there but the real highlight of Friday night, have we got that there?
Yes. Yeah, are we on live?
Yes, we are.
Ringing, that's all.
Come on, let's go.
That's the real highlight, Jim.
Come on.
Of roaming.
When you must be embarrassed when you look back at that.
Not at all. Oh. I look in the mirror and I say, good on you, fat.
Give us number 2, smack.
It's not right. We've got to change that up because I feel like going into the next bit. Nath Brown has had Botox. We all know that. He has.
He has not admitted to having it.
Well, I'm telling you, he has. And even Luke Darcy knows that he has.
He used to take banned drugs to grow his hair.
Correct. Yeah.
He had to get
lied to Asada for special permission.
No, he
100% true, Ben. He sought the special permission.
And recently has had put more Botox in that forehead than any one of the Kardashians.
His head has not moved all year, Bernie. Can't stop looking at it.
Well, you don't know if he's laughing or crying.
It's like the sun. You don't want to look, but you keep looking at it.
You could just about watch the new Top Gun movie on Bernie's forehead.
There you go.
This
one
is coming from Duck, by the way.
One of his 3 jokes.
Yeah.
It's either the Mother's Day, the pirate, or watching the film
he used
off
that
before.
Last week.
I know. Come on, Duck.
Fair diggin,
Duck. But here it is.
What do you got at number 1, Bill?
Thank you, Bill. It's always funny, Jim, when a umpire or a boundary umpire slips over. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but we find it funny.
He's going to fall a bit short of that.
Oh, he's at the back.
Dex is going to pick it up. He's dead. Boundary umpire's falling over his own feet.
Oh, no, he's hurt himself.
Oh, no.
He might have done a hammy.
Oh, no, he hasn't.
Coming up,
Come on. He's just slipped on his bum. Come on, he's...
A little bit of a loser's limp.
Come on.
Miggles, have you got an update for us, mate?
He's going straight down in the room.
No.
Can you believe this? No, he's waved off the trainer and said, I'm going to try and walk it out.
He's just slipping.
Oh, no, he's off. He's off.
He's limping.
He went down the rooms, did he?
He just fell backwards.
Yeah.
So you know how they run backwards
they
to keep up with the play? Yeah. We've all done it. He slipped over.
Yes.
But Bill,
what?
Then exited.
Did he go down the race, really? No.
That was him done.
Oh, didn't come back.
I never saw him again.
Oh, come on, ump.
Come on, Bill. You can box on through falling over, can't you?
Oh, mate, you just limp around. Just finish the game off. Oh, it's always funny that when it happens. Mm-hmm. That is it.
All right. Nothing. 5:05.
That's it.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Yeah. What sort of garbage is this?
That's Radio Craft. Bill. A1.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Their first win, Jimmy, since 2019 as part of the Carlton Draft Series, of course, where some players, eight players, have gone out to different country teams and played. Well, our man, our very own man, Triple M's Daisy Thomas.
Well, Bill, that song obviously gets sung about as often in Nil as it does at Arden Street.
Exactly.
Just at the minute.
Spot on. But the man who was leading the charge there was Daisy, of course, who went up there. They defeated the Southern Mallee Giants by 2 points.
Oi!
Well done, Daisy.
Yes, thank you, boys. Thank you very much. What a 36 hours it was up in Nil. Hadn't won for over 1,000 days.
Jeez.
Grand final-like scenes at the final siren. Grown men in the crowd crying. Oh. It was, honestly, it was unbelievable.
How much pill did D. Thomas see is all we really care about. Not that we don't care about Nil, but...
Look, I was hoping I'd play forward pocket. I was hoping, in forward line, sort of clear it out. I got there. It was about 15 degrees and blowing about 40 knots to one side of the ground. The coach said, "We've got young, skinny kids. We're dropping you in the guts."
I was like,
awesome. So I'm coming up against, South Mallee Giants, I think they're called, old farm strength blokes. So they threw me in the guts. So to answer your question, JB, started strong, probably had, 15 to 20 to half time, and then just positioned myself nicely behind the ball. I claim that was for tactic reasons, but I'd run out of petrol tickets.
That's all right. Truly.
And cop one, didn't you? You had to have some stitches.
I went flying through a stoppage and came out the other side with a big bit of claret streaming down my face. I wore something to the side of my bonce, but all well and good. And as we said, we went on and won the game. In fact, you would have loved it up there. You almost could have brought the wheel up. That was the sort of scenes it was like post-match in the rooms.
What was it? The Carlton Draft everywhere, of course, and then everyone got in the song or just the team? What happened?
Well, the rooms were packed. So yeah. Carlton Draft everywhere, we walked straight in. There was cartons of them, which is fantastic, obviously. And then we had the outer circle of the blokes who'd obviously sung the song before.
Yeah.
And then the inner circle, which not everyone could fit in because half of them hadn't sung the song because they bloody hadn't won that long. So it was awesome. I positioned myself so I could see the wall. You'd probably hear a fair bit of mumbling in the open. That was mainly me just yelling out random words.
And then a sporty that night?
Yeah. Then we did Ben Dixon was up as part of it. So
big hand.
Doodle. Yeah, he was up there.
Harpoon nose.
Yeah, that's it. He wasn't missing too many too. So, we had a good night. I'll tell you what. You speak about the claret fat. So obviously I went out in the long sleeve jumper.
Yes.
As soon as I started bleeding, the old president straight over here, put another jumper on, no dramas. Here you go, sweet, no worries. So they've gone from auctioning off one jumper to two. I'm walking around for the entire night just looking like dollar signs to those blokes, I reckon. They auctioned off my boots. They auctioned off the bag that they gave me and then took back.
Oh,
it was awesome. Carlton Draft gave them $5,000. So the club that's, they're in the middle of the nowhere. They're really rural and remote. So that'll go a long way to helping them.
What was the accommodation like?
I was called the Zero Inn. So beautiful accommodation. I haven't been to prison, but
yes,
five-star accommodation.
They were very, very, very nice and very accommodating.
You could see five stars when you went to bed through the holes in the roof.
That's about the only chance I was going to see five stars.
Neil is on the road from Adelaide to Melbourne.
Yeah, on the way to Adelaide.
Which I've driven through, Daisy, many, many times.
Yes.
Never occurred to me to stop in Neil.
Probably for good reason. I think... Neil, probably named after the amount of attractions in the town. They do have a good pub, though, they tell me, and the largest pinball parlour in Australia.
Fair dinkum. Pinball parlour.
Yeah, wow.
So are we boots up now or are we anywhere else?
Yeah, well, look, I was playing a few games for the Sorrento Sharks, but to be honest, the only two pairs of boots that I had, I signed and gave away. So literally it might have hung the boots up.
I love it. Well, you were one of Adidas's finest back in the day, so they'll dust off a pair for you.
Back the truck.
Yeah, look, if I make the call, they can still certainly find some, but maybe the call doesn't want to be made, JB. Yeah. Give yourself a good out.
The first win for Nil in 1,029 days. That is fantastic. Well done to you, Daisy Thomas.
Nah, appreciate it, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Well done, mate.
We'll be out of here, Daisy, on the midweek rub on Wednesday as well. It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
It's not your best, but it's also not your worst.
No.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. We're joined by MasterChef's Jock Zonfrillo, whose book, Last Shot, is now available in paperback and in all good bookstores.
Our next guest is a chef, TV star, author, and a countdown clock.
20 minutes to go.
15 minutes to go.
10 minutes to go.
3 minutes to go.
Come on.
In about
10, 9,
he'll be chatting to JB and Billy. Please welcome MasterChef's Jock Zonfrillo.
And you are very welcome, Jock. Wow. Nice to have you in.
I like that. I am now a watch, stopwatch, clock of some. Have I got an app? Maybe you should turn me into an app.
I love that. Italian father, Scottish mother, born in Glasgow.
What kind of breeding is that? That's interesting. Half Italian, half Scottish.
My bits are.
You're bitter.
I'm a bitter, and I've been living in Australia for 22, 23 years.
Now. Wow. Yeah, and so. Jim.
Yes.
Good looking. Good.
Take it easy, boys.
I tell you what he is. He's a hall pass for a few people. I think he is, Jim.
We'll get to that in just a minute. Right. We don't want Jock feeling uncomfortable in the studio. But
too late.
I played cricket, Jock, in Lancashire in 1989 and went to the British Open in Troon on the west coast of Scotland and drove through Glasgow. And I was glad I didn't stop. Bill, I'm serious. I drove through going, well, this place, even in a car, doesn't feel particularly safe.
Yeah, look, usually if someone's, everyone always compares Glasgow and Edinburgh, to the two sort of really most known in cities in Scotland. If someone's walking through Edinburgh with a golf club, usually they're going to play golf. not always the case in Glasgow.
It must have improved, by the way, before we get to the soccer. Is it better?
Yeah, I think it definitely is better. Look, you can go to any city and find trouble, can't you?
Yes.
You know what I mean? And there's good parts and bad points, but there's a lot I love about Glasgow, and it runs deep in my blood, so it'll always be there.
So Celtics or Rangers?
Celtic.
Oh, that's where our man is, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Ange.
Ange Postecoglou.
Yep, that's right.
What a star.
What unbelievable.
Did you reach out to him?
Unbelievable season.
Jump on the bandwagon and reach out to him, did you?
No, I didn't, no. He would have no idea who I am, I'm sure. He's done amazing things at Celtic, and it's funny that football in Scotland – really, it's either, it's bad to say this, but it was either Catholic or Protestant. You got told the team you were supporting, obviously, from an Italian family. I got told that I supported Celtic when I was young. That's it.
Yeah.
They've had a great year.
And now I've got this book out. Now, Jim, a very good story for this because you were a drug addict.
Yeah.
Heroin at a young age, all that. A couple of marriage breakdowns. We're getting there, Jim. And then you become one of the great chefs and
restaurateurs,
exactly. Yes. What a book that is. So what is it called? Last Shot.
Last Shot.
Tell us about it.
Look, it just sort of picks out a lot of parts of my life, going from growing up in Scotland all the way through to MasterChef to today's age. So There's a lot of stuff there about me growing up in Scotland and what it was like. And I think for anyone in Australia, my normal and their normal, as you're reading the book, you'll see is completely different. And I think it wasn't until I wrote the book that I started to realize a lot of that stuff that you get so used to your own story, your own life, and you normalize a lot of stuff that other people find shocking. But it's a great book about me and how I got to where I was today. So it's sad, it's happy, it's compelling, it's a page turner, I've been told a million times. And it's just a book really about, about survival, about success, about addiction. So it's a lot of stuff.
Well, so how did you work from leaving Glasgow to come to Australia and into the food game? Was that always what you were
Yeah, I was in food pretty early. I got a part-time job in a kitchen. I think it was 11, just about to turn 12. And the first sort of time I cooked, as it were, because I started off washing pots,
yeah,
I was addicted. That was it for me. I just thought, this is it. I don't want to be in school anymore. And I kind of really switched off from school. I was there sometimes. And when I was, I usually wasn't listening or getting into trouble. So I kind of really wanted to be a chef then very, very early. And so by the time I got my apprenticeship when I was 15, I'd already been in the kitchen for a few years part-time, you know.
Mm. And then where'd you go? You went to London?
Yeah, I went to Chester first. I had no idea there was this thing called Michelin star restaurants. Mm. Yes. So I came out of a hotel apprenticeship, went to this restaurant, and it had one Michelin star, so it was very, very posh compared to the hotel I was working at. And I write about it in the book. I got sacked I was effing and blinding, and they had to buy the entire restaurant champagne.
You're a chef.
And yeah.
Mate, look, that's what chefs do.
Gone. So I got sacked, and I got told I'd never work in a Michelin star restaurant again. So I duly got on a train, went down to London, and knocked on what then was the best three Michelin star restaurant in the country, Marco Pierre White's restaurant in Knightsbridge, and he opened a door and gave me a job. So, two things. One, stupid. And the second thing, a big set of balls, I reckon. Yes. unfortunately, you know, he was there and he'd seen something in me and gave me a job.
How far from Knightsbridge were you living? Because for those who don't know, Knightsbridge is arguably the most expensive part of an unbelievably expensive city.
Absolutely. And also in the book, I got the job and I had nowhere to live, and I had no money to get anywhere to live either. So I slept in the change rooms for the first few months.
Fair income.
Yep. I was never late for work. That was a bonus. But it was pretty embarrassing. You know, you finish service with all the guys, you get changed. And then I used to like leave with everyone else and then walk around Hyde Park and then come back in, punch a code in and go to bed in the change rooms. But Marco helped me at that time get into, there was a youth hostel for kids under 21 in the hospitality industry, and he managed to get my name bumped up to the top of the wait list. So, it was good.
Done it tough.
Kitchens, like we watch the movies. I think old mate out of The Hangover did one as a chef that was going through problems himself. Yeah. The slick back hair, what's his name? Bradley Cooper, yeah. And you watch the movie and he goes off his head and, you know, he's a ridiculously hard taskmaster and working under him is a nightmare. Is that what it's actually like, or is that the Hollywood take on it?
No, I think it was worse than that back in the day. I think a lot of people, a lot of chefs my age who are in their 40s, would have grown up in kitchens that had, you know, all of the feral language. They had, you know, 18-hour days. They had, you know, a huge amount of sort of, you know, what would amount to now called bullying or whatever. Talking to Marco when he was over and we were filming a couple of months ago, just talking about the way kitchens used to be, it's like, it's everything that we went through is illegal.
Brutal.
You know what I mean?
Bloody oath.
And it's not, I don't sit now and look at it as some weird badge of honor. It was just, I kind of look back at it and go, wow, that, you know, it gave me thick skin, no question. It set me up for, to do time in kitchens that were very, very, very tough and give you a lot of staying power when you're a restaurateur and stuff isn't easy and you just got to keep going no matter what, you know? Thankfully, the industry is not like that anymore. You can go and work in a restaurant and work 40 hours a week.
Pubs are still interesting. There's some pubs. Geelong way.
Jock's got himself above that level.
I don't mind a good pub
meal. They're good pub. You'll tell us the best pub meal in Melbourne after the break.
Yeah. You won't find it in Geelong. Jock's on Frillo. Do you mind sticking around?
No, of course not.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Hello to you, Pat.
Hello. Hello, Jim. How are you?
MasterChef's Jock Zonfrillo joins us, who, by the way, his book launch tomorrow is at Buck Mulligan's in Northcote. It's a whiskey bar, by the way.
Oh, that's dangerous.
it can be in the wrong hands.
Now, Bill asked you a question before the break, without notice, by the way.
Oh, well, that's what he's here for.
Best pub meal in Melbourne.
The best pub meal that I've had in Melbourne is at the Builder's Arms.
Oh, that's good. Cool. The Builder's Arms. Carlton.
Very good food. Yeah, it's the guy, Andrew McConnell. It's one of his places. Right. So we all know him from Gimlet, Super Normal.
Yes.
Marion, like guys, the guy can cook. And so you've got all your local pub favourites there, but it's done with a bit of pizzazz, let's say.
Oh, Gertrude Street in Fitzroy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, very good.
Well done.
Very nice.
What about the food scene here in Melbourne? It is unbelievable, isn't it? Just going through the names there.
It's incredible. And I think the diversity of cuisine that we have here in Melbourne is just unbelievable. It doesn't matter, you know, what cuisine you want to go and try. It's here. And not only is it here, it is done very, very well. Yes. So... And the other thing I would say is that your pricing here in Melbourne, compared to living in Sydney for 10 years, you guys are keen on your pricing. Like it's, you know, it's not, I find most sort of mid-market restaurants in Sydney quite expensive.
Yeah.
And you guys down here in Melbourne are super.
But it's getting more expensive. Yeah. You know how much a lettuce is right now?
No, Bill.
$10.
How do you know that?
Well, I went to buy one.
You don't strike me as a guy that eats a lot of lettuce.
Spot on.
Well said.
$10 for a lettuce, an iceberg bloody lettuce.
Accurately said. Now, Flinders Lane is the mecca of dining in this state. And that's what I love about it, is that if you get mates flying in from anywhere, you go, where do I go for dinner?
Bang.
Just if you go there and walk along that strip, there's 15 joints that are all A-grade.
Yeah, and gelato shops as well. So when you finished your meal.
Gelati.
I just love it. Yeah. I think, you know, I've got kids as well, so I guess I'm sort of prone to keeping a keen eye out for any kind of ice cream shops anywhere. Yes. But I love going for a meal and, you know, we might share a dessert and then we'll go to a gelato shop after.
And the wine bar's up on Spring Street too, but you can
go there. Which one's your favourite, Jim?
Punch Lane's not bad.
Melbourne Supper Club.
Supper Club.
It's just a brilliant part of the world to enjoy Melbourne. All right, MasterChef, tell us.
Oh, yes.
How did that start for you, by the way? Because there's been some changes of personnel within that show.
There is. And I think everybody was waiting with bated breath to watch us collapse in a heap, myself included.
Yeah, they were.
I thought it was another Top Gear where you change the three horse and then it's like, oh no.
Yeah.
I got the phone call. We were doing a pop up in Sydney at the time and I sort of said no straight away. I was like, no way. This is just trying to hard act to follow those three boys, you know.
The been big doing bloke it for, with a cravat, hard to replace.
Both in volume and in personality. they're certainly not shoes I could fill because I'm just not that big. But I was worried, like everyone was, that you know, we might not be the general public's test, given that the boys have been doing it for that long and done it so well too. And MasterChef Australia was known, of course, with those three guys attached to it. So, you know, I eventually got talked into doing it. And you know what? I've never been happier.
Yeah.
It is such a great show to work on. The crew are unbelievable. I'm jumping out of bed in the morning to go to work when we're filming that. It takes about 6 months to film a season.
Yeah.
So it's a big chunk of your year, but God, it's good fun.
Season 14.
It's good, isn't it?
It's really good. That tells you how. Yeah, that's a fantastic. Fans versus the favourites, of course.
Right.
You had Nick Riewoldt in.
I did.
Remember him? Looks like an alpaca. Yeah.
same joke every time.
Every time.
Well, look at old Knackers here. Jock loves it. Jockey boy loves it.
I'm going to tell him that when I play golf with him next week.
He does.
He was fantastic on Celebrity. Obviously he won it. He was very, very good at cooking.
Yeah,
Nick.
Yeah. Anything he does, he puts his mind to it.
Oh.
And he's very good. Golf.
Focused, competitive.
That's it, competitive.
Are you into the AFL, by the way? Have you been in Melbourne long enough to have got a taste for it?
No, not yet. I haven't. I live in Carlton, so I kind of go for Carlton, even though I don't really know that much about
it. They're finally getting their act together. Yeah.
So I got my son, I get him to do the footy tipping. We've got footy tipping.
How many did you get this week out of six?
I'm going to show you. Well, he chooses them.
Yeah. Righto, so your
I
son.
Think he chooses it. He's four. So I think he chooses it. He chooses it based on the colours and the patches.
Four. So out of six rounds, there's some good, tough games to pick, actually.
Good at the Sydney, cats. Melbourne.
Where's the art?
It's good
where's
radio, this here job, by the way.
Okay, I'm coming 10th in the in our crew tips. The only one he got wrong was Hawthorn.
Oh,
there you go.
Well, and Sydney. They could have easily won. Yeah, got Sydney to beat Melbourne. I'd stick with him.
Not bad.
That is six. Bloody oaf. He's done well. Six. What's his name?
Alfie.
Alfie. Good Alfie. I like it. Alfie.
Yeah. Alfie, yeah. He's, well, coming. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that much about footy. He picks him every week and he's not doing a bad job.
No, bloody oaf. I'm getting all of them right.
Oh, there. Lauren, there she is. Third wife?
Yes.
Well
third
done.
Wife.
Good work. Yep. How many kids?
I've got four kids. Eldest is 21.
21?
Yeah. Youngest is a year and a half.
How old are you?
I'm 45.
Don't want to look it up.
76. Yeah, 76.
Sometimes looks I made good, 45. Jim. Had a dusting of the pearls too. They've had a nice little whitening up for TV. Look at that.
I got new teeth.
Yeah, for TV.
No, do you know what? It was for me. I was too embarrassed. I was so embarrassed smiling. Yeah. Like I have a big smile. Jeez. Because.
But look at them.
My teeth were just shocking. Like a joiner's nail bag, honestly. So now I smile and I can actually, I'm proud of it.
That is a British thing though, Jock, isn't it?
Like bad teeth.
Bad teeth. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You've always said that, Jim.
Yeah. How is that?
I don't know what it is. I think it's just the amount, and British people eat a lot of sweets and crisps and junk and whatever. I am no different. I've got a whole set of sweet teeth, not just one tooth. And then, you know, on top of that, being a chef, you are constantly tasting stuff all day long. You're tasting a lot of acidic stuff and it just bashes your teeth. Yeah.
The book is called Last Shot. Where are we going tomorrow?
Northcote.
Buck Mulligan's in Northcote. Nice whiskey bar there.
Well, it's actually its third runaround, by the way. Nice. In reprint. This so, one's in
paperback.
Paperback. But so if it's going around three times,
bloody
Bill,
oath,
it's
Jim.
A very good reason.
More coin for
Buck Mulligan's
jockey.
Whiskey bar.
Yes.
I mean, do you boys drink whiskey?
I was on the bourbon the other night. I didn't go well.
No.
I was at the footy. I got a bit pissed.
On the made board. A complete ass of himself, Jock.
I've got something to admit, which is I've never had a hangover.
I've never had a hangover.
You haven't tried
it. How have you done?
I sympathise because it looks horrible. It really does.
I dare say in your 46 years.
I have never had a hangover.
How do you not have a hangover?
I don't know. I'm not sure. It's the same as how do I eat all that food and stay
and skinny?
I've got no idea.
Well, good.
Good genes.
You're one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Could be a tapeworm.
Yes, could well be. Great meeting you, Jock.
On
you. Likewise. Copy of Last Shot. And, of course, make sure you watch MasterChef. Everyone does anyway. The Masterclass, I think, is coming up. So, anyway, Sunday to Thursday, 7:30 on 10.
10.
Good to see you.
You got it. Jock's thanks, on boys. Frillo on the rush hour.
Frillo.
That's it, Bill. Mm. Triple M.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, okay, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
Tomorrow's show, Nick Flostone, high quality.
Yes,
good. Intercept defender.
Number
brilliant.
One.
Chris Golding, high quality, and one of our men.
Bloody oath. We like him, but disappointing United, weren't they, the way they exited this year?
That was a while ago.
Jumpers, or whatever they're called. What are they called?
Jumpers.
The jump jockers, or whatever they are.
Oh, my God.
Go again.
No, whatever, they know who they are. They were very good in the finals there, Jim.
So, Bill, there's a big guest list for tomorrow, but Monday's jokes, traditionally poor.
Yep. You're right.
The day with the laugh.
I have a joke.
This is Billy's joke.
Ah, Jimmy, you'll like this.
Oh, you can write it
you
down.
You can already tell it's going to be rubbish.
I went to buy some shoes this morning, Jim, okay? So I went into a shoe shop, which you do. I said to the assistant, Jim, trying to put on my shoe, I said, it's too tight. She said, why don't you try it with the tongue out? I said, it's still too tight.
Oh, no. Look at him.
It's still too tight.
No, no, Bill.
I can't see it's on.
I want to laugh with him, but I can only laugh at him. That's the only option.
Oh, Rabs, I tell you.
No, I liked it.
They're good. Sack them, Jimmy boy, again.
I liked it too. It was just your telling of it.
That's all of good acting.
That's, by the way, you just sounding normal. When are you going to tell it with your tongue out?
Oh, when are you going to do the punchline?
That was him in the corporate box on Friday.
It was.
I was going to let this.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Man.
Man.
Thank you, Kettle.